Our final storyteller of the evening is Alexandra Deutsch, and she's the chief curator of the Maryland Historical Society. So she oversees the museum's fine and decorative arts collection and exhibitions. Her first book, Women of Two Worlds, Elizabeth Patterson Bonaparte, will be published this spring. But I do want to say that Alexandra is known dearly to me for her fanatical love of Zumba. And there's some Zumba. Yep, there's some Zumba people in the house. I was trying to get them to do a flash Zumba mob in the aisle, but no. But she's an awesome Zumba teacher. She teaches at Meadow Mill. And, you know, as some of you may know, I had harbored a dream of becoming a Zumba teacher. Alas, I have not achieved that, but Alexandra has. So please welcome Alexandra.
So I have always been obsessed with the past, fanatically obsessed with the past. When I was 3 years old, this is one of my earliest memories, my parents took me to Colonial Williamsburg, and I cried when we left, like it had been Disney, like I had seen Mickey, and I was leaving him because I wanted to live in the 18th century, and I was three. So by the time I was about eight, my parents would take me to the Newark Museum in New Jersey. And attached to the Newark Museum was the Ballantyne Mansion, which was built in 1885. And at night, I would lie in bed, and I would think to myself, one day they're going to take me, and I'm going to go into that house, and I'm going to hide, and I'm going to live there. I'm going to be a Victorian child. This did not abate, this fantasy. And in my adult life, it had various manifestations. But in 2007, when my husband and my daughter and I moved into our house in Bolton Hill that was built in 1894, you can only imagine. I had a stage set for my obsession. In 2009, I was sitting at my kitchen table. It was the fall, and my husband's working on his computer. He's a scientist, and he's probably analyzing genetic information. And I say to him, I think we should have an 1896 Christmas dinner party. And just like he always does when I say these things, he says, sure. And I get this idea because in 1896, Fanny Farmer published her cookbook. And when that cookbook came out, that was the cookbook to own. And I think to myself, that cookbook must have been in my house. And Fanny Farmer is speaking to me and telling me that we are going to make a 14-course Victorian dinner in this house. And my husband doesn't protest. And we are going to dress like it is 1896. Now, to have a Victorian dinner party without servants is an act of insanity. But no, we are going to do it because Fanny says, and this cookbook has 4 pages of instructions about this 14-course dinner, and now it is planning a war. It is like an invasion of a small country. I make diagrams. I make lists. I make all kinds of purchases on eBay. I buy things like a fork that you use only to eat celery. And now we come to that night before the dinner party, and it is time to set the table. And my husband, who indulges this continual Merchant Ivory film in my head that just keeps going and going and going, and I'm in it all the time, He is going to help me set the table. And so now we have all of these things, all of these bizarre Victorian things for the table. And I have my 1890s etiquette book, because of course that's what you need to set the table. But my husband, who's a scientist, he says we need a ruler. Really? Oh yes, because we have to figure out the diameter of every place setting. Now, a place setting for a Victorian dinner is no joke. It is something mathematical. Every person at this dinner, and I invited 14 people to this dinner, they need 5 glasses. They need 16 pieces of silverware. They need 12 plates to consume this food, right? So my husband says, we lay one out according to your diagram, and we measure, and we space, so that it's just, it's perfectly spaced down the table. And this takes 2 hours. And I think to myself, did the Victorians say the F word to one another this much? But it's done. It is done. And we step back and I look at this table. Now, my dining room is more than 25 feet long, and it has this huge table in the center of it and a huge crystal chandelier. And we had restored this room to an inch of its 1894 life. And at the very end of the room is this 8-foot Christmas tree. And I look down this table, and honestly, I have a historical orgasm. I mean, this is Age of Innocence. This is better than living in the Ballantine house. And my husband, at this point, has had about enough of the 1890s. So he goes to bed. And I walk to the very back of the house where our kitchen is, and I start day 12 of cooking. Because that's what it takes when you have no servants and you're cooking 14 courses of historic food. And I hear something. I hear something at the front of the house. I hear something in that dining room. And I think he has come downstairs and he is fussing with the table. And I am filled with the rage that only a woman the night before a dinner party could possibly feel. And I do what a good Victorian housewife does, and I say, leave it. It's perfect. Leave it. And I hear all this clinking. He is there. He has that ruler again. And now I am possessed. I am Medusa. I have snakes coming out of my head. And I start walking to the front of the house. I am rigid with fury. And I walk towards that room and I say, honey, honey, Kyle, Kyle. And I look up. And it's not Kyle. It's not my husband. I see a woman. I see a woman in a dress, and she is standing by the table. And I hear her walking, and I see her checking this table, making sure that this table is perfect. And I think to myself, is this her? Is this the woman who lived in my house? And this was like her table? And she wanted my table to be as perfect as her table had been? and I back up. I just walk backwards all the way to my kitchen, and I turn off the stove, and I put the food away, and I turn out the lights, and I walk upstairs. And the next night, it's the dinner party, and all my friends have come in their Victorian clothing, and we managed to churn out 14 courses of food, from oysters to that last course, which is a flaming steamed pudding. And we raise that fifth glass at our place setting, and we toast to everyone who had lived in the house before us. And when I look back on that night and I think about it, I have spent my whole life trying to recreate the past. I've made a career of trying to understand the past. I'm always reaching out to it. I want to know what it's like. What did it look like? What did it feel like? What did these people feel like? And that year, that Christmas, my gift was that for the first time, for the only time, the past found me. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.